I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work. We want to put them in trauma.
The shadow president. Who is Russ Vought? The man who once vowed to traumatize federal workers. As the government shutdown enters its 21st day, we'll speak to Andy Kroll of ProPublica.
He's more than just Donald Trump's budget guru.
He has two very clear goals: to make the presidency as powerful as it's ever been, and to dismantle as much of the federal bureaucracy as he can.
But first, we go to Chicago to speak with Democratic Congresswoman Delia Ramirez about the shutdown and the growing protests in Chicago against Trump's sweeping immigration crackdown.
They want to normalize violence. They want to normalize cruelty. They want us to be okay with what they're doing so that you won't question what they do next. But let me be very clear to Donald Trump and all those criminals. You will not break the city of Chicago ever.
Finally, armed only with a camera, the life and death of Brent Renaud. A new HBO documentary about the first Western journalist killed by Russian soldiers in Ukraine in 2022.
We've just got some breaking news. Brent Renaud, an American photojournalist, has been killed.
Brent lost his life documenting the horrors of the battlefield in Ukraine.
We'll speak to Brent Renaud's brother, filmmaking partner, Craig Renaud, as well as journalist Juan Arredondo, who was also shot in the attack that killed Brent. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's continuing deadly attacks across the Gaza Strip, despite the ceasefire with Hamas that went into effect October 10th. Gaza health officials say at least 13 Palestinians were killed, 8 others wounded by Israeli fire over the past 24 hours. The killings came as the World Health Organization warned many of the 170,000 Palestinians injured by Israel's assault on Gaza will need rehab care and support for years to come, with some 42,000 facing life-changing injuries. This is Mahmoud al-Nakhala, a displaced Palestinian who sought care for his daughter at Gaza City's Al-Daraj Clinic, which was repeatedly bombed by Israel.
My wife, mother, and my two daughters were killed, and my daughter Dana was seriously injured. Currently, we are at the hospital. There are no treatments or any medical supplies. There are even flies and mosquitoes everywhere. We didn't even have a mattress. We brought it from outside the hospital. There are no blankets or medical supplies. We are suffering greatly.
Earlier today, Vice President J.D. Vance arrived in Israel for talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu amidst reports Netanyahu's preparing to collapse the U.S.-brokered ceasefire. Vance is joining Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, and Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, in the talks. In the occupied West Bank, the United Nations Humanitarian Affairs Office says it's documented 71 attacks by Israeli settlers against Palestinians and their property in just 1 week. Among the victims is a 55-year-old woman who was hospitalized with a brain hemorrhage after she was beaten unconscious by a masked Israeli settler wielding a club. Independent journalist Jasper Nathaniel, who filmed Sunday's violence against Palestinian olive farmers in the occupied West Bank village of Tumasaya, compared the Israeli settlers' attack to a lynch mob. Meanwhile, Palestinians have held a funeral for Mohammed al-Halak, a 10-year-old who was fatally shot in the pelvis as he fled Israeli soldiers who raided his village south of Hebron last week. He'd been playing soccer in a schoolyard when Israeli military vehicles approached. A federal appeals court has ruled President Trump can deploy the National Guard to Portland, lifting a lower court's restraining order that had blocked Trump from sending troops to the city. Oregon's Attorney General Dan Rayfield said if the ruling stands, it would give Trump, quote, unilateral power to put Oregon soldiers on our streets with almost no justification, adding, we are on a dangerous path in America, unquote. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Chicago questioned federal immigration authorities Monday about using tear gas against protesters and journalists, violating a previous court order preventing ICE from deploying tear gas against crowds. This comes as another court has denied granting a restraining order to stop Tennessee's Republican governor Bill Lee from deploying the National Guard in Memphis. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem defending the purchase of two luxury private jets for herself and other DHS officials, costing more than $170 million in public funds. The U.S. Coast Guard's acquisition of two Gulfstream G700 jets comes as the federal government shutdown is in its 21st day, hampering federal nutrition assistance and other public aid for millions of people nationwide. In a statement, Democratic Congressmember Benny Thompson slammed the multi-million dollar purchase as, quote, blatantly immoral and probably illegal, unquote. This comes as ICE has spent over $70 million more on weapons for its agents since Trump returned to office, a 700% increase. This includes the purchase of explosives, chemical weapons, and guided missile warheads as immigration raids and crackdowns on protesters intensify across the United States. Colombia's government has recalled its ambassador to the United States as tensions rise with the Trump administration over its repeated extrajudicial military strikes on boats in the Caribbean, many off the coast of Venezuela. The U.S. has blown up at least seven boats in the region, killing over two dozen people, as officials claim without evidence the vessels are carrying drugs. Colombian President Gustavo Petro addressed the threats in an exclusive interview Monday with Univision.
The anti-drug policy of the United States is a policy of dominance over Colombia and Latin America. They've killed 1 million Latin Americans, and the demands for cocaine in the United States has not decreased by a single gram, and it's also increasing in Europe. That is called domination, and it's what made Trump so angry. That is why I said he's preparing an invasion of Venezuela, not because of drug trafficking. Those are lies.
In Japan, the former economic security minister, Sanae Takaichi, has made history as the nation's first female prime minister. She is an arch-conservative protege of the late former leader Shinzo Abe, who ran under the slogan Japan First. She holds a revisionist view of Japan's history and World War II and is a regular visitor to the Yasukuni Shrine, where some convicted war criminals are memorialized. Takeuchi is a longtime admirer of Britain's first female prime minister, Margaret Thatcher. She's consistently opposed legislation that would allow women to keep their maiden names after marriage. She's also opposed to marriage equality. The Trump administration fired two federal prosecutors in the Eastern District of Virginia after they voiced opposition to the criminal case against New York Attorney General Letitia James. That's according to CBS News, which reports the firings of Assistant U.S. Attorneys Kristen Byrd and Elizabeth Yusey continue an ongoing purge in the office after Trump forced out his own handpicked interim U.S. Attorney Eric Siebert for refusing to bring charges against James and former FBI Director James Comey. Trump replaced Siebert with his personal attorney, Lindsey Halligan, an insurance lawyer with no prosecutorial experience. On Monday, lawyers for James Comey asked a federal judge to throw out the criminal charges against him, arguing Halligan is unlawfully installed as U.S. attorney, a position that requires Senate confirmation. They also argued Trump's repeated public statements calling for Comey to be jailed show Comey was the victim of a selective prosecution. A former Justice Department lawyer speaking out about illegal orders he received while working under President Trump's hand-picked Assistant U.S. Attorney General Emil Bovee. Whistleblower Erez Rouveni told 60 Minutes correspondent Scott Pelley, Beauvais instructed attorneys at a meeting they may have to consider telling a court F-U, though Beauvais used the expletive. The order came as the Trump administration rushed to send a plane full of immigrants to be imprisoned in El Salvador's terrorism confinement center, CECAT, without trial.
Beauvais emphasized those planes need to take off no matter what. And then after a pause, he also told all in attendance, and if some court should issue an order preventing that, we may have to consider telling that court, F- you.
And when you heard that, you thought what?
Felt like a bomb had gone off. Here is the number three official using expletives to tell career attorneys that we may just have to consider disregarding federal court orders.
In a statement, Emile Beauvais called Rouveni's claims a, quote, mix of falsehoods and wild distortions of reality, unquote. Beauvais was confirmed by the Senate in July to a lifetime appointment as a federal appeals court judge. President Trump's nominee to lead the Office of Special Counsel, Paul Ingrassia, texted a group of Republicans that he has a Nazi streak, adding that the Martin Luther King holiday should be, quote, tossed into the seventh circle of hell, unquote. The comments were among a slew of racist texts from Ingrassia, published by Politico on Monday. Following their publication, Senate Majority Leader John Thune signaled Ingrassia's nomination is unlikely to be advanced by a Senate committee at a confirmation hearing scheduled for Thursday. This follows Politico's publication of an image of an American flag altered to include an image of a swastika that was displayed inside the Capitol Hill office of Republican Congressman Dave Taylor. Taylor later disavowed the symbol, claiming his office was targeted as part of an orchestrated campaign against Republicans. This all comes after President Trump appeared to use a white nationalist dog whistle in a recent speech to military leaders in Quantico, Virginia. Trump claimed without evidence that under President Biden, immigrants murdered 11,488 people.
11,488 murders allowed into our country by this guy who had no clue. He had no clue.
The speech was likely written by Trump's anti-immigrant advisor, Stephen Miller. It appears to be a reference to the number 1488, a coded rallying cry for militant white nationalists. Seven universities have declined to sign a compact to agree to the Trump administration's demands regarding admissions, campus hiring policies, and speech in classrooms in exchange for federal funding. The letter was sent to nine universities earlier this month. The universities rejecting the compact include University of Arizona, Brown University, Dartmouth College, MIT, the University of Pennsylvania, the University of Southern California, and the University of Virginia. Vanderbilt University reportedly expressed reservations while the University of Texas signaled it was open to signing the compact. And the White House has started demolishing part of the East Wing to begin building President Trump's $250 million gold-gilded ballroom. The demolition comes despite the fact that the National Capital Planning Commission, a federal agency responsible for major renovations to government buildings in Washington, D.C., has not approved the construction work. Last week, Trump held a White House dinner to thank donors from Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and the weapons industry for funding his ballroom. According to the Wall Street Journal, representatives from Lockheed Martin, Microsoft, Meta, Google, Amazon.com, and Palantir all attended the dinner, with some offering as much as $25 million. Democratic Congressman Darren Soto wrote on social media, quote, Trump's billionaire ballroom. This is a disgrace. Welcome to the second gilded age. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, a federal judge in Chicago questioned federal immigration authorities Monday about continuing to fire tear gas at protesters and journalists despite her previous court order. U.S. District Court Judge Sarah Ellis ordered the government to preserve all video evidence of federal agents firing tear gas and pepper balls during protests against Trump's escalating immigration crackdown in the Chicago area. In one of the most dramatic instances, a masked ICE officer was filmed shooting a Chicago pastor in the head with a pepper ball while he prayed outside the Broadview ICE facility. The priest, David Black, is now part of a lawsuit against the Trump administration. Over the weekend, more than a quarter of a million people rallied in Chicago for the No Kings protest. The rally stretched for 2 miles. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson called for a general strike.
Donald Trump is using ICE as his private militarized occupying force. The only other entities that are funded greater than ICE are the United States military and China's military. But we are saying emphatically clear, we do not want troops in our city. We will not allow our cities to be occupied. So here's what we need to do in this moment. If my ancestors, as slaves, can lead the greatest general strike in the history of this country, taking it to the ultra-rich and big corporations, we can do the same today.
The No Kings protest came a day after the Trump administration asked the Supreme Court to allow the deployment of the National Guard in the Chicago area. Other speakers at Saturday's No Kings protests included Democratic Congresswoman Delia Ramirez, whose district includes Chicago.
They want to normalize violence. They want to normalize cruelty. They want us to be okay with what they're doing so that you won't question what they do next. But let me be very clear to Donald Trump and all those criminals. You will not break the city of Chicago ever.
Congresswoman Delia Ramirez joins us now to talk about the immigration crackdown in Chicago, the government shutdown, and more. Why don't we begin with the crackdown and the court hearing yesterday, the judge saying that the immigration officials were breaking rules when it came to shooting protesters and journalists with pepper balls, tear gassing them. Talk about what's happening in your city, Congressmember Ramirez.
Amy, we are under attack by our own federal government. In many cases, I have constituents who tell me that they feel like our city is under siege. And it's not just the city, it's the surrounding suburbs, in some cases 2 hours from the city of Chicago, where they're targeting communities, communities that have been safe, communities that have been thriving. And in some cases, as you're walking through some of these neighborhoods, they look like ghost neighborhoods because people are just not coming out. People are living in daily fear.
And Congresswoman, I wanted to ask you about this hearing, which Judge Ellis questioned ICE officials about the use of body cameras. And they claim that they don't have money for body cameras in Chicago. And she ordered that the Border Patrol Chief Gregory Bovino be deposed about this.
How could ICE and Homeland Security say they have no money for body cameras? They have $200 million for Kristi Noem to get new jets. It just doesn't make sense. What we're seeing is an agency that has gone rogue, that has been emboldened, and that thinks that they're above the law. I mean, in the same vein, they said that they didn't have to follow the judge's order. The director Hott, who was supposed to come before the judge yesterday, all of a sudden on Friday, immediately returned back to D.C. because they know that what they're doing is illegal. And we have to make sure that we continue to organize in the streets. And that's why you keep hearing us say, if you see ICE activity reported and recorded, because what ICE is stating and what we're seeing in the community, in the streets, is inconsistent.
And what do you say about the enormous mobilization at the community level and neighborhood after neighborhood in Chicago? Have you been surprised by that?
Now, I know Chicago. I am part of the city, this beautiful city of community of 77 neighborhoods. You know, I said to you, people are living in fear. And at the same time, our neighbors, our community organizations, our leaders, our organizers are in the streets organizing. They're recording. They have rapid response teams. We're creating human buses to take kids to and from school so that parents don't have to be afraid, as what you've seen already happen when an ICE agent stops and drags a mother out of the car while the child is in the back. So we're doing a lot of organizing. We're winning in the courts because that footage is actually being used during litigation. And we're changing minds in Congress. I have colleagues of mine who would never have talked about defunding ICE, would never have talked about questioning ICE's leadership or the day-to-day activity, began to talk about perhaps we need to consider defunding, perhaps we need to consider putting some strong legislation of accountability under an agency that now has gone rogue.
I want to talk about the government shutdown in its 21st day. As Trump breaks ground on this, what's expected to be well more than $250 million gold-gilded ballroom, maybe the symbol of the demolished walls of the White House is particularly significant at this time, and furloughed workers and those that are required to work, essential workers, are not being paid. You have constituents, I want to ask about yours, who could lose their supplemental nutritional assistance program, SNAP benefits. If you can talk about what's the central debate in the midst of this shutdown, the Democrats demanding that the assistance, the continued assistance around ACA, the Affordable Care Act, and SNAP continue, and the Republicans saying no. What is going to come of this? And explain, in your case, who's affected in Chicago?
Yeah. I mean, Amy, Donald Trump and his puppets, my colleagues, the Republicans in Congress, they've made it very clear. They want my constituents uninsured, they want them unhoused, and they want them unemployed. All while he is creating a $200 million gold project for the White House. All while Kristi Noem continues to spend our taxpayer dollars to build and to be able to purchase $200 million worth of jets. My constituents right now are asking themselves, how could our president hate us so much? How could he be so removed from the reality of the American people? That while he brags about his golden rooms, I may not be able to feed my children tomorrow. Because it's the cut in benefits and SNAP benefits. It's people who are not getting paid. Our staff, essential workers, who have to pay a mortgage on November 1st, and they have to wonder, how do we keep taking in the calls from our constituents while also figure out how do we pay our own mortgages? This is the reality and the world that we're currently living in, and it's despicable. And Amy, here's the worst part of all that. It can change overnight. Mike Johnson can call us into session today. He can introduce a resolution that restores healthcare, that protects SNAP benefits, that protects the American people. But he's unwilling to do that. And half of his colleagues are not even in their districts. They're out on vacation all over the world. This shutdown is the clear embodiment of Donald Trump's leadership. Starve and let people die while the billionaires and his cronies enrich themselves.
Congresswoman Johnson and other Republicans keep claiming that the Democratic lawmakers have caused the federal government shutdown because they want to extend health care benefits to undocumented immigrants. What's your response?
Juan, it's a vicious lie. And they think that the American people are uninformed, that if they keep saying it, that people will believe that. The federal government prohibits us from using federal funds to provide health care for undocumented people. It is a vicious lie. What they should say is, I don't care if Americans get health care or not. I don't care if you have to triple your insurance premium and choose between going to the doctor or paying your bills. This is a vicious lie. They know it. And when he's questioned enough, he'll walk it away. But this is a danger that we're living in. You have the people in the highest office of our country spewing vicious lies with no responsibility or accountability.
You know, the Republican Senator Tuberville was just interviewed and said, you know, the way they're going to pay, they've made a carve out to pay military members during this shutdown. And he was asked, should they pay furloughed workers? And he said, then we wouldn't have any leverage, right? That puts pressure to end this shutdown if the workers aren't being paid. But I was wondering, with Speaker Johnson not allowing you to come back to reconvene the House of Representatives, should Congress members, should the House of Representative members be paid?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, right? And look, some of us would tell you that we are working every single day. Some of us are working 70, 80 hours a week demanding to reopen the government. We came in as working class, a few of us, unlike the majority of members of Congress. And we demand that we reopen the government and that we pay our employees, that we protect SNAP benefits. This idea that, you know, go ahead and cut. Yes, I understand how people feel about members of Congress. No one should feel bad for us as your members of Congress. But it is a responsibility of Johnson, one of the wealthiest members of Congress, to do his job, bring us back and protect benefits, protect health care, and make sure that whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, that we're doing everything we can to protect the American people.
And I was wondering about, well, you can't say yet Congressmember Grijalva, because that House Speaker has refused to seat her in an unprecedented move by keeping the House from convening. The Arizona Congresswoman-elect, who represents Tucson, represents 700,000 people, do not have representation right now. What kind of internal discussion is going on? So many saying it's because she would become the final vote needed to demand the release of the Epstein files, this devastating book coming out today by the late Virginia Giuffre called Nobody's Girl, talking about Epstein. It seems like Trump is ramping everything up to deflect attention from this.
Yeah, it's true. Johnson prefers that people go homeless and are starved to death in this country than bringing us back, reopening the government, but even more so, allowing Adelita to represent her people, her community, her constituents, and become that 218 signature. Just think about that. The protection of pedophiles is above the protection of the children of this country. That is who Speaker Johnson is protecting, pedophiles. He's denying Arizona 7 from having representation so he can continue to cover up what we all know is in those files. It's despicable, Amy, and it is why you saw people in Chicago come out. People said, no one's going to want to come out in Chicago. They're living in fear. ICE is all over the city. They're not going to come out. 250,000 people came to Grand Park, but thousands came out throughout the surrounding suburbs saying, enough is enough. We will not allow a wannabe king, but a pedophile in many cases, to continue to dismantle our democracy and to continue to be covered up by a speaker and a Senate leader who care more about a pedophile than the American people.
And Congresswoman, we only have a few seconds, but I wanted to ask you about another topic, the continued Israeli attack on Gaza. We finally have a ceasefire now, but what is your sense of what the days ahead hold in terms of reaching some more lasting peace in the Middle East?
We know who Donald Trump is. He's a wannabe king, and we know who Bibi Netanyahu is, a war criminal. I don't trust them to actually, in fact, implement and protect a ceasefire. I mean, you are already seeing the impact right now. This is why Block the Bombs, my bill, is so important. Some people have said, Dele, we don't need that bill anymore. We need congressional oversight more than ever because we can't trust Donald Trump to actually ensure a ceasefire to continue to be in effect. We've already seen in the last week what has happened. We have to make sure that we are blocking these bombs from being authorized and released to Bibi Netanyahu, and we have to continue to assert our congressional oversight if, in fact, we are truly committed to a ceasefire.
Congressmember Delia Ramirez, I want to thank you for joining us, Democrat representing Chicago, from Illinois, the first Latina congresswoman to represent Chicago. Next up, the government shutdown enters its 21st day. Who is the shadow president? Russ Vogt, the man who once vowed to traumatize federal workers. Back in 2017.